You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Please open your Bibles in Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. I want to just tell a story about a rich man. This rich man had all the resources to live the rest of his life. But one of his business went better than he expected. And after that, it was necessary for him to take a decision. Take the money and just keep it, or reinvest the money again in the same business. And he decided to invest one more time. That meant for him to start again and put in risk all his work, all the things that he has succeeded. He put in risk doing this. After a couple of years, his business went well, and he had even better results in his business. Now he had not just money, but also more money. He has the recognition of the community, the respect of all the people in his community. What do you think about a man like this? Do you also feel that he is a great man? Do you admire him? Would you honor and follow his steps of such men? Sadly, for this man, he couldn't enjoy of his possessions because he had a terminal disease. His doctor told him that he had 6 months to live. And because he did not have family, he asked a question to himself. All the things that I have, who will they be? What would you do if your doctor tells you that you have a terminal disease and you have 6 months to live? And you know what? I'm not sure about this term, terminal disease. That's the best way to describe disease that is going to end your life. Because we are all terminal. We are all going to die. We don't know when, but we know that we have limits. Thus, we should ask not the question that he asked to himself, but questions like this. What is my purpose in the world? What I am supposed to do in this world with my time, with my talents, with my possessions, with my gifts? Where should I put my time? At least those are the questions that I ask to myself. What is going to happen if I die today? And that is exactly what Jesus taught in this passage in Luke chapter 12. Let's read together verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who had made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do? Do I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will storage all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, who whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, because we have this beautiful time to reflect on your word and to see the way you think, because our thoughts are all the time going far away from you. We want to go toward you and seek your kingdom first. Please, God, through your Holy Spirit, direct us this morning to learn and also be moved to action, to change those things that need to be changed in our lives, things we are not doing right, or thoughts that are wrong in our heart. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I titled the sermon, Seek the Things That Are Above, because this is in Colossians chapter 3. And Apostle Paul is saying, seek the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. So this word seeking means, where is your time? Where are your talents? Where are your resources? What are you doing in your daily life? And I want to teach you through this passage three things we have to learn or do in our life, having Christ as example in the things he's teaching. And the first one is that we have to deny the offer of the world. And that because Jesus Christ is the first thing he's doing in the verse 13 and 14. Look at these verses. Someone in the crowd said to him, so first, when Jesus was teaching, a lot of people was around him. They were listening to him. They were paying attention to his words. So he has some authority in the eyes of the people. And the people saw him as a wise man, at least. So this person came to God, to Jesus, and said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So this person said, say to my brother, as I told you, he had authority in the way he talked. And we can see in other passages that when they were talking about Jesus, they said, this man has authority, not like the interpreters of the law. Because when they talk, there is just knowledge, but they don't have authority. So that's why this man was saying to Jesus, tell my brother, because he had the authority to talk to people and teach them. And if you remember, King Solomon, when he was ruling as a king, the people came to him and he had to take decisions, right? So this question is a hidden question right there, because this, if Jesus will attend to this petition of this man, he will be doing something that the kings of Israel usually do. And remember that Israel, the Jews, were under the power of the Romans, the empire of Rome. So if Jesus was taking decisions and having that authority that corresponds to a king, he was establishing himself as a king. That was the way that also David came as a king instead of Saul. Taking decisions, and the people finally was the one who decided who was the king. The people wanted from Jesus to put him as a king, a political king. But because their eyes were put in the things of the earth, they didn't know that Jesus Christ was coming to this world not to give them freedom from the Roman Empire, but to give them freedom from the power of sin and death. They didn't understand that. They wanted to have their land again. They didn't want to pay taxes to the Roman Empire. So their eyes were put on the world. Now, I'm not going to say that the question of this man was bad. Let's hear the question again. Or the petition, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's not bad to have the inheritance. I think it's just if a dad die, then the kids need to have the inheritance in same parts. That's not bad. So he wasn't asking for something that was bad. But the problem was, who was asking him the question? He was asking to Jesus. You don't ask Jesus for that question. I mean, that's important. But if you have Jesus in front of you, are you going to ask something like that? The question should be, "Jesus, how can I have the inheritance that you offer that will be done better and greater?" So, many times in life, the question we ask are not wrong. But there are better questions we can ask. Now, let's hear the answer of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?'" He was saying, "I don't want to be the king. I don't want to have the possessions." Why? Because the king has the authority also to receive taxes. That was in the law. Since the first king was established, Saul, in Israel, the people of Israel knew, because God said that they have to pay taxes and give things to the king. And they say, "Yes, we're going to do it because we want to have a king. Instead of having God as a king, we want to pay our taxes and give our things and our lands to a man." Okay, here is it. There is your king. But Jesus Christ said, "No, I don't want to be a king. I'm not interested in having more possessions." Because he knew what was his mission. Jesus Christ was focused on the obedience of the mission that God was given to him. Give them freedom from sin and give them freedom from death. After that, in verse 15, "And he said to them, 'Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" So he's saying that you have to be vigilant and do not fall asleep, because the one who falls asleep will be captured by the philosophy of this world. Okay, he's saying that there is a way that the world is thinking. So do not fall asleep. Be aware of what is happening and the way that the world is thinking. And that's the second thing. So the first thing we learn is that we have to deny the offer of the world as Jesus Christ did it. He's giving us the example. Deny the offering of the world. But to deny the offering of the world, you have first to identify the offering of the world. So that's the second point. Identify the offer of the world. You need to know what is the way that the world is thinking. That way you're going to say, "Oh, this is what the world is offering." So you can say no. So do not fall asleep. What is the way that the world is thinking? He says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So, we're going to take this, take out the no, and say the world is saying that the life consists in the abundance of his possessions. That's the way that the world is thinking. So, more you have, better you are. Right? That will be a sentence to give a summary of that. But also Jesus Christ is explaining by parts through a parable. That way we can understand better, and the listeners of Jesus Christ can understand better what is Jesus talking about. So he's given us this example of a rich man who was full. Now, parenthesis here. Be rich doesn't mean be full. But this rich was a full. This rich man was a full man. Because having possessions is not a sin. So the life according to the world consists in the abundance of your possessions. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. So there's the question. Again, the same question, different answers. The question is, what does life consist of? Why are we here in this world? So Christian is going to say to glorify God. Christians are going to say that. But the world is going to say to have more, right? So let's see verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. Okay, verse 16, there is no sin. It's no bad to have a good business. So I don't see anything bad in verse 16. The land of a rich man, having a land, having possession is not bad. Being rich is not bad. It's not a sin. Produce plentifully. So give a lot. This business went good. Nothing bad right there. If you are in that category, you are okay. So it's fine. Because God is giving blessings to you through the things, material things you receive. More you have coming from God, better, right? It's fine. Now, the problem is when you are receiving things that are not coming from God. Is that possible? Yes, that's possible. What happens if you are working and in your job you are doing something wrong in the eyes of God? If you are lying, if you are stealing, stealing something or stealing time, that's wrong. And that's not coming from God. Even if you receive more money because of that sin you are doing in your job. So that is not a blessing from God. But if you are working hard and you are doing the things right in your job, and you are also being faithful with your family, with your church, and you have a balanced life, and God is blessing you for all the things you are doing, that blessings are coming from God. Let's see verse 17. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. So, wrong question. Again, he's asking the wrong question. That's the problem. It's not about the answers, but everything starts with the questions. The questions we ask are leading our life. The question you are asking every day, those questions are leading your life because you are looking for answers to that questions. And his question is wrong. He's saying, in other words, how can I keep all these things for myself? That is his question. He didn't care about other people. He didn't care about the will of God. He just cared about himself. So let's see verse 18. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. So he had different options. He could sell his property and just have the money. Give to the needy. Reinvest. And he decided to reinvest. And he turned down all the things. And that means a risk, right? He took the risk to have more. And when we say rich, it's necessary to define what rich means. According with the lifestyle you have, if you have enough money to live the rest of your life, then you're rich. Okay? If you spend $30,000 a year just for living, between all the things you do, and you are earning 30,000, so you are living in the line, right? How can you be rich if you have 60 years more to live, and you have 60 times 30,000, and you live in that way? You're rich because you have the money to live the rest of your life, okay? But if you spend $5,000 a year and you have 60 times 60 years, 5,000, you're rich. So depending on the lifestyle you have, then you can define if you're rich or not, right? Because you have enough money to live the rest of your life. So he was already rich. He had money enough to live the rest of his life. But he wanted to have more. And he took the risk of living in this way. And he decided to keep everything for himself. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. He said, verse 19, I will say to my soul. It's a big problem right there. Because this man was looking to satisfy a need of his soul with things of this world. Your soul can be just satisfied with the one who created your soul. That's God. So he was looking to fill the needs of his soul with something that just Jesus can fill. And that happens so often in the world. People looking to satisfy their needs, the needs of their soul, with food, drink, and rest, and money. Or other things. Because it could be also that the idols in the heart of people is not just money. Maybe you said, I don't have a problem with that. I don't need to listen to that sermon. But maybe you are struggling with some other things. Because you are willing to give. You are willing to give away all the things you have because of God's kingdom. The problem, there is something you are keeping for yourself. And you say, how can I have more of this? But you need to put God first. We're going to talk about that later. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So that was the same question at the beginning. Who those things will be? All the things we have are going to stay here. And that's why verse 21, and that's the number three, point number three today, something to do, be rich with God. Verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The third thing we have to do is be rich with God. But what is to be rich with God? Well, number one is to make treasure in heaven. Okay? How can you be rich with God? Making treasure in heaven. So I was thinking about this question, and how can I explain that to myself and then to you? Okay, so when you work in the United States, people is gonna pay you with dollars. Okay, so you receive that green paper. When you work in Honduras, for your information, you receive lempiras, different colors paper. When you work in Mexico, you're going to receive pesos, different color money too. But when you work for the kingdom of heaven, you don't receive any paper. What you receive is treasures in heaven, and you cannot see that. Now, there is a problem right there. Because I'm saying that when you are working and somebody's paying you for that, you can think that means that I'm not making treasure in heaven because I'm making money here. But no, let me tell you something else. You can be rich with God while you are making money too. So that's the second thing about being rich with God. We make treasure in heaven while we are making money. We shouldn't separate our job, our family, our church from God. God is in everything you do. You have a hobby? God is right there. Are you studying? God is in your studies. If you are earning money, if you have a business, God is in your business. Should be. You should recognize that in your life. He is involved in every aspect of our life. When you're working, you should do it, your work, your job, thinking that you are working for the kingdom of God. Not just for the money. You're going to receive that money because you need it to live. But you have to think about your job and your school or whatever you are doing for the kingdom of God. So that's the title of the sermon today. Seek the things that are above while you are doing earthly things. So the questions that have to raise right here for you during this week is, how can I glorify God through my job? That would be a good question. It shouldn't be, how can I earn more money because I have a lot of needs? Maybe it's not a wrong question. The right and best question you can do is, how can I glorify God through my job? How can I make His kingdom come through my hobbies? Through the sport that I play? The question you ask makes you find the answers. So ask the right questions. And what is to be rich with God? Number three. Let me give you a definition of being rich. Having a great deal of money or assets, wealthy, plentiful, abundant. But let me tell you something this morning. If you have Jesus Christ, He gave you forgiven of your sins, you are going to heaven, you have a great treasure in the heavens waiting for you. You are already rich because you are fulfilling that definition, because you have a treasure in heaven. Not for something you do, but something that Jesus Christ did for you. And we have that hope that He's coming for us again. And He's giving us eternal life with a great and wonderful treasure in heaven. But that is not possible through your works. That is not possible because you attend the church every Sunday. That is not possible because you read the Bible every day. You do those things because you trust in Jesus Christ. And you already have that treasure. So, let me tell you again, you are rich toward God because you have Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and for your word. Thank you for helping us to understand your word and take some challenges going home, singing these songs we were singing, and remembering that you gave your life, you gave your only son to save us. and we are rich in your presence. Help us to remember that wonderful truth and to walk every day seeking your kingdom, seeking the things that are in heaven for us. Help us also through all our needs, our physical needs, emotional, spiritual needs. But give us encouragement. Remember that we are rich in Jesus Christ. In that beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.